When we turn to God in Jesus Christ and ask for His mercy, He receives us, forgives us, and imputes to us His own righteousness on the basis of His grace and our faith. And that's how the righteousness of the law is fulfilled in us. Here is the unique and special blessing God has given to those who trust His Son, Jesus Christ. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And here is the proof that one has become a new person through faith in Jesus Christ, for he walks not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Here is the effective work by which a guilty and condemned sinner is delivered from his pitiable condition into the glorious liberty of a child of God. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now that's the message of Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. Let us look to God to interpret it to us by the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit, so that we are able to apply it to our hearts. The essence of the Christian gospel is this: sinners are delivered from the guilt and penalty of sin by the atonement provided in Jesus Christ. If we ask, how is that deliverance effected? Romans chapter 8, verses 2 through 4 gives the answer. First, deliverance from sin into righteousness is effected by the Holy Spirit. Verse 2 reads, "The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death." Now there is the basis of our spiritual freedom expressed in a single sentence. Consider that term, law, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, the law of sin and death. It does not refer to a written code like the Ten Commandments. It speaks rather of a regulative principle which exercises control. It refers to an authority to which we are subject, a power which rules over us. Now the Bible speaks of many laws in the meaning of the term. There is the law of the mind, the law of God, the law of the husband, the law of Moses, the law of sin, and the law of the Spirit of life. In each case, law refers to the principle which controls and regulates one's life, that which exercises authority over one. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus in our text. Now that is because the presence of the Holy Spirit of God within the human spirit of a person creates life. The indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit also maintains and sustains that life. The Spirit of God does not give us life. He is our life. It is He living within us, which is eternal life to the Christian. That's why He is called the Spirit of life. Second, deliverance from sin unto righteousness is effected in spite of the inability of man to keep the law. You see, salvation was something the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, verse 3. Now what was it the law could not do? It could not break the power of sin in us. It could condemn sin, but it could not render it powerless in our flesh. It could tell us no to wrong, but it could not enable us to do right. What was the weakness of the law method? It was and is weak through the flesh. Now, grammatical form is used of the verb weak, which means the law method keeps on being weak. There is no growth in one's spiritual ability as he strives harder and harder to keep the law. Not at all. The law demands what the flesh cannot provide. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. A mirror can show a man the dirt on his face, but it is not able to wash that dirt away. The law can reveal sin, but it cannot remove it. So third, deliverance from sin unto righteousness can be effected only by God. Verse 3 reads that God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemns sin in the flesh. God took the initiative in our salvation. He provided the Savior in the person of Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son. That statement reveals the preexistence of the Son, for God sending Him indicates that He was before He came into the world. It reveals the incarnation of the Son. He came in the likeness of sinful flesh. It reveals the atoning deed of the Son. He came for sin, that is, because of sin, as a substitute for sinners to make atonement. And it reveals the truth of sanctification. He condemns sin in the flesh. Now that's the solution of the sin problem which overwhelmed man. That is the solution provided by God Himself. But how did Jesus condemn sin in the flesh? Well, the incarnation of Jesus broke the universal dominion of sin over mankind. Until He came, every human being was a sinner by nature and by deed. But not Jesus. He was sinless. He broke the universal dominion of sin over men. And the death of Jesus, followed by His resurrection, broke the power of condemnation of sin over humankind. He made atonement for sinners. Now those who are in Christ are freed from sin. Jesus condemned sin in the flesh by deposing it from its dominion and dethroning it. He is victor over sin. Fourth, deliverance from sin unto righteousness makes it possible for the Christian to fulfill all righteousness. The righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Oh, what a contrast is set forth here. The law failed because of man's inability. The gospel succeeded because of God's ability. The purpose of salvation is sanctification. The evidence of justification is sanctification. The believer possesses and is possessed by the Spirit of God, and that makes him capable of doing all that the law of God requires of him. What was the purpose of the law which God gave in the Bible? Well, it was to show the world that it was guilty before God. It entered to show the abundance of sin. It shows man how exceeding sinful he is. It was given to direct us to Christ that we might be justified by faith. And that's what the law has done. Its purpose has been fully realized. Shown how impossible it is for man to keep the law sufficiently to merit righteousness before God, we turn to God in Jesus Christ to beseech and receive His mercy. He receives us, forgives us, and imputes to us His own righteousness on the basis of His grace and our faith. That is how the righteousness of the law is fulfilled in us. Father, we marvel that it is possible for guilty and condemned sinners to be pardoned and accepted without blame before You. We know it could never happen if it depended upon our personal merits. And so we thank You and praise You for Your grace. Thank You for Jesus Christ who died for us, the Holy Spirit who regenerates us, and for Your own divine person who accepts us in Christ. Enable us more and more to live the life of holiness which we have received. For Jesus' sake, amen.